Please be seated. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. Verses 12 to 15. Hear once again God's holy word. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present with you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure you will be able to call these things to mind. That's for our reading again in God's Word. These verses come, you better write this down. These verses come after the first 11 verses. They come after the first 11 verses, and they're a transition from the first 11 verses. He's going to have a new theme beginning in verse 16. And these verses can be called Peter's last will and testament. Peter's last will and testament. This is actually a last will and testament. It's written in a style that for the first century readers, they would know from the text itself, because of the special grammatical construction, that this is to be treated differently. So Peter is speaking to dear friends, and he's saying, I am just about to die. And this is my last chance, my last shot to give to you that which is of the highest importance. As we think about last wills and testaments, this is a serious business. You don't do this in a frivolous way. You make a legal document. You have to see the lawyer, and you have to go through certain things to make a last will and testament. And that's what Peter's doing. That's his message. That's his style. And in a last will and testament, you speak about things that are known to the family. Now, a last will and testament is not something that you usually publish on the front page of the paper. It's an intimate document detailing things that are important to you. To this son, I want to leave this particular thing, and here's the reason why. And that's what Peter is giving to us. He's speaking to us, not simply a letter, but a document that he wants us to read over and over. So there's no new teaching in a testament, but an underlining of things that are well known. And this last will and testament, particularly in these verses, is, in a sense, to use a musical term, it's reaching a crescendo. He's teaching us also about the Christian life and the Christian walk. This morning, as we looked at the first two verses, he spoke in the beginning about the believer knowing certain things, knowing about the grace that is ours, knowing about the righteousness that is ours. And he invites us to grow in grace and in peace. And then beginning in verses 5 and 6, he takes us to the next step. Beginning at verse 5, he says, for this very reason, I want you to ratchet up what you know. I want you to play the piece a little more, well, with a little more vigor. I want you to run a little harder. I want you to push ahead just a little more. And that's what we have beginning in verses 5 and 6. And the verses before us represent the last step, in a sense, the last stage of the Christian life. You've already heard all of this, but I'm going to tell you yet again. I'm going to remind you again of the truth. This is the last stage of Christian maturity, the needing reminders. So you've learned, You've heard it again, and now a third time it's presented to us. We're being reminded of nothing very new, but yet something of the highest importance. So tonight I just have two main points from the text. And the purpose tonight of this last will and testament is simply to stir us up to remember the important truth of verses 10 and 11. To stir us up to remember the important truth of 10 and 11. Here's 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you'll never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. That's the issue that's set before us. Make your calling and election sure. Remember these things, because a rich welcome, an entrance into the eternal kingdom, is going to be abundantly supplied to you. Well, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. What is awaiting us? Well, it's not just a kingdom. It's a rich kingdom. It's a lavish kingdom. This morning we talked about lavish grace. And we understand the concept of lavish. A dear friend right before church shared her experiences, and she's a dear friend and she's not sitting in the front, so I won't embarrass her. But as she was explaining to children the notion of lavishness, she took a piece of bread and put a wee little bit of peanut butter on it. That's not lavish. And then she just spread that peanut butter over it and talked about lavish peanut butter, lavish grace. Well, in verse 11, Peter is saying there's a kingdom that's awaiting us, and there is a lavish supply for us. When we head through the gate of this life into the other life, that life is lavish. And Christ has supplied lavish entrance for us. And Peter wants to remind us of all of those truths. And that's my single point tonight, is to remind us of what is ours in Jesus Christ. And also, looking at verse 10, to remind you to make sure it's yours. And so I hope that I'm merging my sermon tonight with Peter's actual intention in the text. So two points. Number one, we need reminders. First of all, we need reminders. All of us need reminders. We all have a tendency to forget. Think about larger groups. Larger groups like nations need reminders. September 11, we remind ourselves of what happened some years ago. Last Thursday, annually, we remind ourselves to give thanks to God for the goodness that is ours. So our daughter Whitney's in Scotland, and they don't have Thanksgiving. They have no reason to be thankful in Scotland. But we have a lot of reasons to be thankful because we're no longer in Scotland. So it makes sense that nations need reminders. And on a smaller scale, in our families, well, parents sometimes need to give reminders to the kids. Oftentimes, kids can forget the household rules, and there's a lot of reasons to forget. There's a lot of new information that the kids are getting, and yes, you heard it once, and maybe you heard it twice, but sometimes you need to be reminded simply because, well, life is busy. And sometimes we adults need to be reminders. Details just fly in one ear and out the other. But sometimes we need reminders because we adults particularly are wicked. We simply want to forget that we made marriage vows. We want to forget those commitments that we have at work or at home. So sometimes we need to be reminded of those truths. And for example, sometimes we use wedding rings to remind us of that reality. So as we think about reminders, the harshest reminder of all is the one that with which we're most familiar. It's called a mirror. Or if you live in Pittsburgh, it's a mirror. You look into the mirror every day. And the mirror shows us what we really look like. We would like to look sometimes like something else. But the mirror says, no, 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 those are real bags under your eyes. And yes, that's really a gray hair. And yes, there's really a lot less of it. So the mirror reminds us of who we are. And dear brothers and sisters, we need to remind ourselves as to who we are in Jesus Christ. And the mirror is the daily reminder. And we'll see that Peter wants us each and every day to build into our lives certain reminders. And we'll talk about those reminders in just a minute. But the church needs reminders too. Now the church in its infancy in the Old Testament, God gave that church some really interesting reminders, didn't he? Think about the clothing that God gave to Israel to remind them of who they were. And even today, if you go to a Jewish home, you can see some of those reminders, a little box called a mezuzah that's put by the doorpost that has some stuff in it. It reminds the Jews as to their identities. Or if you go on YouTube and you look at the Wailing Wall, you'll see Jewish men with these boxes on their heads as they pray, which is a physical reminder of who they are. Well, in the New Testament, we don't have those physical reminders like the old. We have a different kind of reminder. It's a reminder that's, well, usually nothing very new or exciting is brought out. It's called preaching. It's a weekly reminder of who we are, of our self-identity, of our belonging to Christ and to His church. And if you ask the preachers, basically they'll tell you, I just say the same thing week in and week out. It may have different themes, but it's the same message. Recently at Presbytery, no, it was actually at a funeral, the preacher got up to speak about this other preacher, and he said, I'm going to speak to you, and actually the preacher who's dead asked me to preach. And he knew that I only have one thing to say, and he heard me preach it every week, and he said, here's the gospel. And that's the one thing he preaches week in and week out. And well, whether it's from Isaiah or for Mark, there's really only one story, the story of Christ and Him crucified and Him resurrected and our union and life in Him. But what about the reminder that's embedded in our text here this evening? Peter is reminding us that something was imminent for him, and it was his death. Peter's death was something that he wants us to remember. Look with me at verse 14. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Well, I don't think you'll hear that from any pulpit. None of us today, none of us preachers have these types of personal revelation from Jesus concerning their death. But on the other hand, all of us are going to die. The day is coming, and the day is coming soon. But Peter had been told somehow by Christ about his forthcoming death. And Peter did die about 68 AD, probably in Rome, probably by crucifixion. But how he died and where he died, that's not the important thing. Peter knows he's about to die. And he's reminding the people who have received this letter, whom he loves so dearly, that his death was soon to occur. He was soon to divest himself. Look with me at verse 13. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. Now, why does he speak like that? Why does he talk about taking off an earthly dwelling or an earthly tabernacle or an earthly tent? It's like he's changing clothes or something. Why doesn't he say, I'm about to die? Well, there's a reason. He is about to die, and we are about to die. And he's taking off the tent of his earthly habitation. He's taking off this body. He's taking off this particular tent, the place where he lives right now. And he's making a contrast. He's about to take off one tent or one set of clothes, and he's about to put on another. He's taking off that which is old and worn out, and he's about to put on something that's glorious. And brothers and sisters, each one of us are going to have to make this change. Each one of us has to change this set of clothing. It's part of the story. It may seem far away, especially to you kids. It may seem like, well, that's just something for the old people. And hopefully all of us will live to ripe old ages. But it's going to come for all of us. We have to take off this tent. But there's a reason why we take off this tent. We take off this tent that we might walk in new tents. And that's what Peter is talking about. I want you to know that in Jesus Christ, the body will die, but it will live again. That life on this earth is all that we know in one sense, but Peter is saying there is yet another life, and Jesus has prepared a lavish entrance for us, and we can walk in that newness of life. It's the same message that Paul had in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, if you'd like to turn there. For we know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. It was Peter's theme, and it's Paul's theme, and it's a theme we should remember. It's a theme that we shouldn't forget. Do you know the Jesus of Peter and Paul? Because I can make you a promise. You will soon put off this tent. And there's destruction waiting for those who do not know this Jesus. So kids, do you know this Jesus? Because it's of the highest importance to remember what he's done for you. So reminders and remembrances are important, but secondly, let's take a look at Peter's view of truth and how important truth is for this congregation and for the first century readers. He says, you've been established in truth. Look with me at verse 12. In verse 12, I always am ready to remind you of these things. Now, what are the these things? These things is verses 1 through 11. It was proper for Peter to remind his readers, they've been established in the truth, but they need to be reminded. This congregation is just like the recipients. You've heard the Word of God preached in this pulpit week in and week out. You've heard the truth. You've been established in the truth. And Peter says, nevertheless, like this congregation, we all need to have reminders of these things. It's the gospel that you have that still needs to be preached and proclaimed week in and week out. It's the common apostolic message. And all of the apostles saw themselves as preaching these things, as preaching this gospel. This is what Paul tells us in Galatians 2:7. Galatians 2:7. On the contrary, when they saw that I had been entrusted with the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been entrusted with the gospel to the circumcised. It's one gospel. It's Peter's gospel. It's Paul's gospel. It's the apostolic gospel. It's the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15:1. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand. It sounds like Peter and Paul are saying the exact same thing. It's very similar. Or in Jude 3, the faith that was once delivered. Or how about Paul in Romans 15:14? Romans 15:14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. The word gospel's not there, but it's the same message. It's the message of Jesus Christ. So the content of this truth is the whole message of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation. And the congregation there has been established in that truth. And this congregation has been established in that truth. But we can't hear it too often. Now let me ask you, it seems peculiar that the preacher would say you can't hear the gospel too often when you've heard it over and over. It seems peculiar that the preacher would talk about reminders that we need day in and day out. Now, why do we need to hear the gospel every day? As we look in the mirror every day, why would we need to be reminded of the gospel every day? Well, here's the reason. What is the gospel? Well, the gospel, as we saw in the first two verses and in the verses following, includes knowing who God is. And who is God for Peter? He is the one who is holy, 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 as we read from Isaiah. And who are we? Well, we're pretty good, according to Peter, aren't we? No, not at all. We are sinners. Again, we read this morning from Isaiah. Isaiah saw the Holy One of Israel, and he said, "Woe is me, I am undone." And that's us. So what do we need to hear every day? That God is holy, and that we are sinners. And on our own, there is no way to bridge the gap between a holy God and men and women who are sinners. And what do we need to hear? We need to hear that we need to come to Jesus Christ fresh and anew each day. And that means acknowledging our sin before Him, repenting before Him every day, and trusting in Him anew each day for that eternal life that begins, in a sense, fresh anew every morning. Do you need to hear that gospel every day? Of course you do. Now, kids, what about you? Can you understand the gospel? Can you understand how even, well, whether you're 2 or 22, you need to hear this story every day too? We all need to know that Jesus is our Lord and that He's ready to forgive us when we sin against Him. And so, kids, when you know that you've sinned against the Holy God, it's not that He's going to turn His back on you. And each and every day we fall on our knees before Him, maybe before you go to bed at night, or maybe in the morning, sometime during the day, and we seek forgiveness fresh and anew, and we remind ourselves of the goodness that is ours in Jesus Christ, the grace that is ours, the mercy that is ours in Him. And we find a peace. I don't know about you, but I need the gospel each and every day. And I think that's what Peter wants for us. You see, we've been established in that. And we can never become too firm in that gospel. So in verse 13, Peter talks about stirring us up. I want to look at the end of verse 13. I want to stir you up by way of reminder. This is the only place in the entire Bible that has this kind of unique phrase, to be stirred up. And I'm watching, you know, tonight's a very small group, and I was kind of hoping somebody's head would go down just a little bit so I could pound the pulpit and get your attention and make your head come up. That's what Peter's talking about. I want to stir you up. I want to remind you. I want you to wake up to these realities. It's the only place that's just like this, and that's exactly the response, the emotional response that Peter's going for. We sometimes slumber, we sometimes fall asleep at the switch. And as I've talked with people who teach in, say, Christian high schools, Sometimes they say that the kids have heard the gospel preached so much they're gospel hardened. They just can't hear it again. I mean, it's like, oh, I've heard this 1,000 times. And Peter wants to stir you up. If you're a kid in a Christian high school, you need to be stirred up to the truth of the gospel. And if you're an elder or a preacher, you need to be stirred up too. I need to be stirred up. We need to be aroused to the truth. We need to wake up from our slumbers. And if that's not strong enough, look with me at verse 15. Peter says, not only do I want to arouse you, to wake you up, I'm going to make every effort to make sure that when I'm gone, you will still remember. He really cared for the people. He's going to do everything in his power while he is still breathing, that they will remember these things when he's gone to be with the Lord, but they're still here. I'm going to make every effort. Now, he's used the same phrase in verse 5. In verse 5, for this very reason, our Pew Bibles say, apply all diligence. It's the same understanding. I'm going to apply all diligence. I'm going to work as hard as I can. So students who have to take tests know exactly what Peter's talking about. You apply all diligence. You cram the night before for that test, and you work as hard as you can. You make every effort to recall with perseverance. And what are we to recall? What are we to remember? It's the goodness of the gospel. It's the goodness of what he says, particularly in verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. He wants us to be aroused, to be vigorous in perseverance. With the mind and with the hand, they go together to remember what Christ has done and see the change in our lives because of that. Do you remember God's great deeds? Do you remember His grace and His mercy, the things that He has done for you? And do you have the heart of a Peter? For those of you who are older, for those who are grandparents, does your heart yearn for your children and your grandchildren to persevere? That when you are no longer here, that they will continue in faithfulness? Are you investing not in their economic well-being, which is not a bad thing, but Peter says, I yearn for you to walk in faithfulness. So for those of us who have children and grandchildren, is that our heart's burning desire for faithfulness in the coming generations? And what about parents? Are you training up your children, reminding them of the one needful thing? There's only one needful thing on this earth. That's verse 10. Remember, brethren. Be all the more diligent to make this calling certain and sure. This is Simon Peter's last will and testament. This is what he wants us to remember. Dear brothers and sisters, this is my plea as well. To remember the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. To remind each other every day of the mercy that is ours in Christ. And when these good things happen, Jesus Christ will receive the praise, and He is worthy. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, it is because of your great love that you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord Jesus, it is because of your work, your coming to earth, your suffering, that we have been saved. And we thank you, Spirit of the living God, that you have applied it to us, that you have united us to Christ. We ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord, that you, by the Spirit's power, would cause us each day to remember these things, and that we as a congregation might walk in faithfulness to the praise and glory of our Lord and Savior, in whose name together we pray. Amen. Shall we continue worshiping Him, this time singing from the book of Psalms, Psalm 24, selection C. Psalm 24, selection C. Let's stand and sing together.
The earth.